Mr. Bob Livingston. Been an amazing part of Catch the Fire for as long as I've been here, so that's 12 years, and maybe you can tell us how much longer than that, but I've been blessed to know him personally and have never got a game of squash in, unfortunately, but I'm sure we'll get there one day. We're looking forward to what God's going to sow into us through Bob and your message. So bless you, Bob. Thank you.
I've been here 12 years, 6 years in the spirit, six and 12 years physically, so I feel this is a bit of a setup, the Legacy Fund, and here is my talk today, Leaving a Legacy, and I just want to let you know the two are totally unrelated. The way I do these papers and presentations is I've written a paper which is available on the website called Leaving a Legacy. The notes that I've got here are also available, but if you want to bless me, please take lots of notes so I can think you're interested in not making your shopping list. You know, isn't the Holy Spirit wonderful? I've been rehearsing this speech for the last 2 weeks. The way I do it is I take the main paper and copy it over to what I call speech, and the speech has a quota of a maximum 5,000 words. And then what I do is I take the speech, probably around 2 weeks before, once I've got down, I'm lying, it was 5,500 words, but close to 5,000. And then I put it on a CD. And I listen to it in the car. And even last night as I was going to bed, beside me, the dog and I were listening to today's speech. Well, when I walked into the church, the Holy Spirit said, all right, well, you've done your thing. Now it's my turn. I'm sticking to the 5,000 words, but I just want to do the introduction. First of all, let's get it right on the table. Leaving a Legacy has really little to do about money. So if you want me to leave the stage now because that's my distinctive competence, I'd be accepted. Since I see no hands, I'm going to continue right on. But Leaving a Legacy is something far more important. It's the third paper I've written in this generation to generation. The first paper I wrote was A Tale of Two Cities, talking about parents, whether they want their children to end up a city called responsibility or a city called entitlement. Clearly, we all want responsibility. That applies to parents. The second paper I wrote, which was The Incredible Journey, was the important role grandparents play in this whole process of helping their grandchildren go to a city called entitlement or a city called responsibility. That was for grandparents. Today's talk, Leaving a Legacy, nobody is outside the loop. Matter of fact, I'll say this quite bluntly. I think we all know there are two great commandments in the Bible. If there were nominations for a third great commandment, leaving a legacy would be at the top of my list. I'm a very logical guy. At some point it can border on legalistic, but that's a whole other topic. Jesus left a legacy. He left a legacy that all Christians respect, are blessed by, etc. But there are people who are not Christians, open-minded people, who will acknowledge Jesus left a legacy. If we are supposed to be like Jesus, surely we have to leave our own legacy. And as Darren said to me this morning, we're all going to leave a legacy. There's no cop-out here. Just because you decide you're not going to leave a legacy, that is leaving a legacy. So wouldn't it be a good idea to leave a good legacy? Now, one of the assumptions I made, and I had a little conviction as I was talking to Sandra this morning, is I have been well modeled. I have been very blessed in my life. I had parents that cared about me. I had grandparents that cared about me. There are generational curses, yes. There's some stuff that's not so good. I've had some bad models, but I've actually had an attitude you can learn more from a bad model than a good model. You can learn what not to do, which is just as important as what to do. There are many people in this room that have the same opportunities I had, but there's probably more that did not have the same opportunities I had. So please, do not take this talk as a conviction. Take this talk as an inspiration. I really think some of the stuff you can learn from. I encourage you to take the written material on the web and reflect upon it. So what does it mean to leave a legacy? Life is a gift. And this is it. I know this is Anthony Robbins, and all the rest of the quotes will be from the Bible, but I thought this was such a powerful quote. Life is a gift. It offers us the privilege, the opportunity, and the responsibility to give something back by becoming more. That's the only way this works. If you accept this definition, and if you don't, the rest of the talk is sort of a nice talk. There'll be a couple of jokes along the way, and then I'll be out of here in half an hour. But I think if you get this, you're on your way. So what does it mean to leave a legacy? Well, I thought, how would I look at that? And I said, well, let's think about someone who left a legacy that you value. And one of the names that came to mind was my grandmother, Gladys Burton Livingston, known as Nana to all her grandchildren. Nana was a wonderful lady who had the best homemade chocolate sauce I've ever tasted. When I thought of Nana, I thought of her chocolate sauce. Now, over the years, of course, I've come to realize that there was a lot more to Nana than just her chocolate sauce. There was a woman who truly cared about the family and the community she lived in. In the Depression, she opened up her back door and served soup out of her kitchen to those who were not as fortunate as she was, as her family was. I can remember at the dinner table, just a woman of grace. You ate at Nana's pace. Nobody left the table till Nana finished. But she left her values. She didn't talk about Galatians 5:22. She didn't pull out her Bible. But every one of her values is in there and more. Most importantly, love, self-control, discipline, patience, all those things that are so integral. So over the years, I've come to reflect back upon her. She left me a legacy. She sewed into my DNA the values that I treasure very highly. Leaving a Legacy is a paper I wrote to help you understand how to leave a legacy. I think we not only have a calling to do it, we have a specific responsibility to do it. And I think it's important to understand there are certain tools that are available. My experience in my day job, if you will, is I'm in the wealth management industry. And over the last 5 years, I've written papers on personal development, philanthropy, and wealth management. And I believe all three can help us leave a legacy. And again, leaving a legacy is about leaving your values. It's not about leaving your money. Let me make it clear, if it's not clear yet already. When you leave your money, you help the next generation fulfill a need. When you leave your values, you help the next generation fulfill their goals. When you leave some money, if you can, and your values, you help the next generation fulfill their dreams. It's so true. I'm going to share with you some stories that even I'm shaking a bit here. So I think philanthropy, first of all, philanthropy can be, let's go back. Personal development. What is personal development? We haven't got time to go through it all. Very short definition. Discovering the inner you. Establishing your values, discovering your skills, and discovering your talents and developing your skills to take that inner person into the real world. To find what your passion is in life and become the best you can be at it. That's what personal development's all about. It's going to help you to find your legacy, as I define it later. Philanthropy. Integral part of a legacy. Why? Because it's the one about the heart. You have to have the mind and the heart working together. You know, if you only have the mind leaving a legacy, it's all about you. You're just seeing what angles can I do, what building can I get my name on, etc. There's nothing wrong with having buildings, by the way. I'm not telling people, but there's more to it than just that. And lastly, wealth management. The generational transfer of wealth in the wealth management industry, which means moving from the money from one generation to the next, is the most difficult thing in wealth management. Now, you that don't have money think you're missing it. It can sometimes be a curse. It's a big challenge for sure. But I think the thing about the wealth management industry is it also applies to values, the same principle. Moving the values from one generation to the next is just as difficult. So I think these are all important things. Now, what I did is I asked three questions. Why should we leave a legacy? What resources do we need to leave a legacy? And where do we start? So why should we leave a legacy? A gentleman called Jim Rohn, one of the teachers on personal development that I have a lot of time a day for, I call him a side door Christian. He's sort of in the same venue as John Maxwell, who many of you will know. Jim Rohn wrote a paper on why you should leave a legacy, and I just share with you a couple of his comments. First of all, not in there is what I said earlier. I think we all have a calling in our Christian faith to leave a legacy. I think we all have a responsibility by coming into this world that when we leave it a little better than we arrived, no matter how insignificant that may be. I think if we are parents, we all have a legacy to bless. We all have a responsibility to leave a legacy for our children which will bless them, not curse them. I think if we understand leaving a legacy is about the big picture. Leaving a legacy is not about us. It's about someone else. It's about others. That's where we're going to talk about the difference between success and significance. And lastly, I think leaving a legacy has to think about other people. It has to be something that we are leaving for someone else. If it's really about us, then it really isn't a legacy. It's about us. What resources do we need? I think we need three: passion, time, and wisdom. Wisdom. Notice I didn't say money. I don't think money's needed. I don't think money is needed to leave a legacy. Passion. Passion is the most important ingredient in terms of how I define the commitment needed to leave a legacy. Passion and love, actually, I'll rephrase that. Passion is the fuel. Well, let's just back up here a bit. Here's how I define significance. I define significance as discover your passion, commit to be the best you can be at it, and share it with others. And part of becoming the best you can be at it requires a commitment. And that commitment requires planning, discipline, hard work, passion, patience, and never forgets love. Okay? You're going to hear that many times. Apparently, according to a very famous analyst, not Mike Manfred, but another one, Bob Farrell, told me that people will not listen to you till you get to around the fifth time. So you've heard it for the first time, you're going to hear it at least five more times. So passion is so, so important. Time. Time, when it comes to leaving a legacy, is far more important than money. You know, we need little time to leave our money. We need a lot of time to leave our values. And it's so, so important that you understand that. This is hard work, leaving a legacy. This isn't a walk in the park. It takes time, and it takes passion, and also it takes wisdom. It's interesting, as I was writing the papers, one of the things we'll be talking about is when we make a choice, we must take personal responsibility for the decision we make and having a commitment that goes with that. Now, the decision is either the right decision, the wrong decision, recognizing the no decision is the worst decision usually. You know, just because you avoid making a decision, you are making it a decision. But when it comes to a commitment, the decision, rather, I always thought just required knowledge. And when I got thinking about it, it actually requires knowledge and wisdom. Matter of fact, here you are. You can Google it, use the book of Proverbs, you're on your way. Google will provide all the knowledge and more that you possibly need and provide you with no wisdom. The book of Proverbs will provide you with a lot of wisdom. A lot of wisdom. Matter of fact, if I can just take a 30-second side break here. My blessing for this week, I shared it with Darren. When I was putting this together, I thought, well, I'm going to put quotes in from wisdom, from Proverbs, rather. And I had written, as a father, granted late, but at least I did it, when my kids got into their late teen years, a study guide on the book of Proverbs. Every 2 weeks, I sent out a one-page email to them on what I thought were the three most significant quotes from each chapter and what I called the bottom line. In other words, what was the most important message? And I was quite blessed. I mean, it was great to do it. Well, there I was at the airport on Monday trying to put this talk together, and I had my computer with me, and Laura's plane was late. Not her fault, the fog. And so I was sitting there, and I went to Bible Gateway and put in Proverbs and significance because I needed a quote for significance. And, of course, got nowhere. And then I thought, well, wait a minute, I've done this study. I'll just go get my study. It's on the computer. And there's 31 books in Proverbs to show you that I have done the study. And there's only 29 in my last update. I know I had done them. And I thought, oh, isn't that a pain? I've lost them. I'm going to have to rewrite them all. Well, when I sent these out, I sent it out to my three boys, and I got a little Pied Piper band going by the end. I had my cousins and nephews and a couple of personal friends, and one who's Jewish, and just to make sure I was going right down the right road with it. And I sent a note to Blair, an email to Blair, who's in Germany right now, our third son. And yes, our, not I, we, right. Yes, our money, right. And I said, Blair, I've lost 30 and 31. Would you possibly have them? And the answer was he did. Now that is so powerful, guys, because it meant he read them. He meant he kept them. He meant he valued them. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? So any young fathers in this audience, Steve, you're going to start your study of Proverbs? When? When you get some sleep, right. Okay, enough conviction there. So, wisdom. Google the book of Proverbs. Where do we start? I think you have to understand that you have to put a process in place for this. And you have to put it in writing. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. So the outline of my talk today is we're going to talk about the search for significance, because I think that's the beginning point of where we begin to think of leaving a legacy. We're going to talk about the roadblocks. I'm going to give you three quick examples of leaving a legacy. Going to talk about the solution, the generational transfer of wealth, quick story on family philanthropy, and then leave you with some ideas on how you can leave a legacy and some people that have left a legacy. So finish your work outside and get your field in order. After that, build your own house. Proverbs 24, verse 27. Of course, it makes total sense. You can't go wheeling off becoming significant and establishing a legacy until you get your own house in order. Come on. I mean, that's dangerous for everybody, most importantly, the people you're trying to leave a legacy for. So I listened to a teaching by John Maxwell. He talked about the difference between significance and success. Success and significance. And of course, success must come ahead of significance. Many people are successful, few people are significant, according to John. My definition for success is quite simple. Discover your passion, commit to become the best you can be at it, and share it with others, second time. I think too often that we get taught, though, in success. You know, how we define success, no visa bill, you know, that funny ad, doesn't happen. A job, a family, etc., etc., etc. But at some point, we get all the toys, or we get close to all the toys, and there's something still inside us that's not being filled. There's something that's not being filled. And I think that's where the beginning, remember, the third part is sharing it with others when we become successful. I will tell you, sharing it with others will make you better at what you do. Stop. Don't ever be afraid not to expand your comfort zone. It's my second core philosophy. Understand who I am, expand my comfort zone, and maintain my perspective. Very, very important. But expand your comfort zone. I mean, we're not talking about becoming an opera singer, as John Maxwell and I both agree that we will not do. But we can figure out what our core competencies are and work on them. I mean, this is definitely outside my comfort zone. Talking about leaving a legacy, nothing to do with finances, I am moving outside my comfort zone. Not wildly, but moving. So once we think about we're moving into significance, let's define significance. Pretty simple, too. Help others discover their passion. Provide the resources so they can become the best they can be at it. And encourage them to share it with others. Pretty simple, eh? These are Holy Spirit things. These ones, Holy Spirit. I got a couple that I think I'm not that smart. I think the key thing, you know, especially with parents, you're raising your kids, wouldn't you think it'd be a good idea to sit down, husband and wife, and how you define success? This is the biggest mistake the parents can make, I believe. I mean, I've made lots of, you know, I love the line, by the time you figure out how to be a parent, you're unemployed. It's so, so true. Yeah, I guess that's why they give us a second shot at being a grandparent, right? So hopefully we don't make the same mistakes, at least. So I think it's very, very important when you're talking about significance, you're helping others discover their passion. And there's no strings attached. This is really important, especially in the wealth management area. I see all these mistakes. You know, parents will lend money to their children to buy a house, but then the conditions start coming out. So if you're going to lend your kids or you're going to give your kids, make sure everybody understands and put it in writing what you're doing, especially the spouses who are doing the lending. Laurel and I, when we're helping out with Michael and Brianna, my daughter-in-law, we put it in writing. You know, is it a loan? Is it a gift? Et cetera, et cetera. Very, very important. So the transition really occurs from success to significance when you do the third thing. When you begin to share it with others, then you're starting to make the change. There's a great quote by Peter Karoff, a well-known American philanthropist and long-distance call. And he says, it has been estimated that roughly half of Americans are on a hunt for a higher purpose, a search for values, for connection to community, and for spirituality, for a purpose beyond work, beyond the sound bites of the evening news, away from information overload, the minute-by-minute world we live in. And I think that's why we begin to think about leaving a legacy. The roadblocks. I'm only going to share with you three. The corrections of discipline are the way to life. I think the first mistake people make, or the first roadblock that happens, is they set the bar too high. The second one is they lack the commitment. And the third one is they get stuck in success. Because the only way you can become significant is if you move out of success. You stay in success, you're stuck. The only way you can become you can leave a legacy is through significance. And if you stay stuck in success, you're never going to leave a true legacy. Because success is all about you, for the most part. It's about your family. There's a few things you're doing, but for the most part, you're doing it because it's in your best interest. I mean, let's face it. I'm a breadwinner for my family. I'm providing for them. I'm just blessed what my kids are doing. But that's success. Significance is when I can step back and actually let my kids do what they want to do. I believe that. I mean, I've got a son who dropped out after second year. Story to come. So setting the bar too high. I think I've flown WestJet Airline once, so I can't say that I heard this, but I've heard on WestJet Airlines when they first started, and they had all those funny ads and stuff like that, and they made it fun to fly. When you were landing, they would say, now listen, you know, we pride ourselves in providing the highest level of service, you know, that we possibly can, and we hope we met your expectations today. If, however, we did not, we recommend you lower your expectations. I think it's the same thing when it comes to leaving a legacy. I think too many people are leaving a legacy with money. I have no money, no legacy, no worry. Don't go there. Do not go there. Leaving a legacy is about leaving your values. Everybody can leave their values. So I think it's very important. Lower the bar. If some of this stuff is sort of new to you, take it, read it, study it. That's what I would do. It's a project. I mean, I think it's the third great commandment. Everybody can have their own opinion on that, but I think it's got to be up there. Very, very important. The second one is lacking the commitment. I said, in my wealth management and personal development papers, a common theme is we must take personal responsibility for the choices we make. When we make a choice, it requires a decision. I've said this several times, so you can see I'm back into my memory work. We make a decision. We either make the right decision, the wrong decision. Recognizing no decision is usually the worst decision. The decision requires knowledge and wisdom, Google, and Proverbs. The commitment requires a plan, hard work, patience, passions, and never forgets love. Never forgets love. The two most important ingredients in all that are passion. It's the fuel that makes everything go. When hard work, patience, and planning are just simply words. It's when you're slugging along in that portage in a canoe trip, and you said it was only 2 miles, and you still haven't found the lake, and you got this friggin' canoe on your shoulders, but you're passionate about canoeing, and you keep on going. I think it's so, so important that you have passion. And that actually is the first part of my definitions, both for success and significance. Discover your passion, encourage others to discover their passion. Passion is the juice that makes it all work. Love is the control mechanism, the balance. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But let's just move right into that. Getting stuck in success. I think the greatest risk in a world where we're sort of judged by our material things and everything else is we can easily get stuck in success. We can do all the things well on the commitment. We can go through all the decision process, but we forget one important ingredient, and that is love. We plan, we work hard, we practice patience, we've got all those things in place, and then we arrive at what that is success. In my paper, Three Coins from the Fountain, I talk about this. The husband who works hard all his life, and when he retires, he finds his wife is a roommate, if that, and his children are merely boarders, if they're still at home. I think it's so, so important to recognize love is needed. Without love, you're never going to achieve significance. I firmly believe that. Because love means true love, agape love, whatever you want. You're doing it for someone else. You're not doing it for yourself. So you need love. Establish the vision. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they will succeed. Proverbs 15, verse 22. This is the second Holy Spirit moment, for me at least. I wrestled for years in my talks trying to figure out the difference between goals and dreams. Could never figure it out. And finally, it just clicked. At least as far as I can see, it clicked. You know, the hard thing is most people have a hard time establishing a vision. It's a big topic. I mean, this is life. I mean, sitting back and trying to figure out, establish the vision for my life, I may have enough trouble just making it through day to day. Establish a vision, I think, if you break it down this way, actually becomes quite simple. If you're prepared to put it in writing. And there's no wrong answers on this, guys. There are no wrong answers. The only wrong answer is if you don't take the time to do it. Right? Take the time to do it. So, establishing your vision, three parts. Establish your dreams, define your goals, and lastly, create your plans. Very, very important. You know, the thing is, dreams are what-if wishes. Dreams require imagination. Okay? Goals are what-can-be statements. Goals require inspiration. Lastly, plans are what-must-be-done commitments. Plans require perspiration, otherwise known as hard work. It's that simple. It is that simple. And most people are not prepared to take the time to sit down and write them out. Now, what I've done, and I bounced it off my wife and she agreed. Let's just for fun, what would two dreams be for us? I mean, that's a tough thing. Well, rightly or wrong, make the world a better place and become a cohesive family. Especially the second one, guys. Become a cohesive family. Like, that is not, I'm not going to bring all my stuff out right now, but you know what? That is a great dream to have. But it's a dream. Dreams have no deadline. They're just nice, big, wide-open statements that you think, oh, wouldn't it be nice? Then you walk away. Goals are dreams with a deadline. Here's two goals, in line with my dreams, obviously. Get involved in philanthropy and establish the family's values. Goals require plans, though. There's one more part. You can't stop at goals or you're still not there. Create your plans. Practice philanthropy as a family and begin the generational transfer of wealth. By the by, for those with young kids, the generational transfer of wealth starts at around age 2. When you take them to the store for the very first time and they said, Mommy, Daddy, or both, can I have another quarter to buy some more candy? You are starting the generational transfer of wealth. Don't think otherwise. In my paper, A Tale of Two Cities, I have a chapter which I wrote for fun, but it's a very, very good message. It's only a cell phone. How you handle your kids and their cell phones speaks volumes which city they will end up, and speaks more volumes of what kind of parent you are. I know that sounds harsh and perhaps judgmental. It's the truth. I have seen both ends. I've seen parents buy their kids Blackberries at the age of 11, $110 a month, absolutely nuts. But I've also seen parents say, no, if you want a phone, you're going to pay for the operating costs. And until you have the money, you're not getting a phone. Tough love is required. Soft love can be very bad. Now, I'm not always good at tough love, okay? My wife's not here, but she would tell you that. So, again, establish your dreams, define your goals, and create your plans. Let's talk quickly about the generational transfer of wealth. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. This is the one that was actually in the original. I mean, this is a great quote. But you've got to look at it. Inheritance is not just about money. The values are far, far more important. That will sow into multiple generations. Remember what I said? You know, you leave money, it will fill a need. That's about it. So when I go through this, the challenge when it comes to the transfer of wealth is there's some great sayings that, you know, something like shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves in three generations, the way the Chinese put it. Actually, the Americans updated to that. Money never survives three generations is the way the Chinese put it. In any case, getting the money down three generations, there's a 70% chance it won't be there. 70% chance. And I'm going to cut through a little quicker here just to keep on time. But I think the key point is people don't take the time to plan. They don't take the time to communicate. There's been studies done on this. 80% of the inheritance is only first discussed when the will is read in the lawyer's office. I mean, I could see a case where a father dies, he's the last one, let's call it the mother dies, and there are three kids, and there's five lawyers in the office. Why? Well, there's a lawyer for the mother, the three kids, and one of the kids just got divorced, and you better believe that spouse wants her lawyer there to make sure that she gets protected. You think that's crazy? It's not. It happens. 60% of the reason money does not move from one generation to the other, there was a study done called Preparing Heirs, it's in the paper, is that people just don't trust each other. They don't communicate well. So you must begin the process now, even if it's small. Begin the process now. I like the idea of giving gifts with a purpose. I talk about it in both Tale of Two Cities and the one for the grandparents, The Incredible Journey. And one of my favorite one is, you know, for parents, take their kid out for lunch. For grandparents, take their grandchildren out for lunch. And for those that don't have a kid, rent a kid. You will bless some father or mother and or both by doing this. I'm serious. And what you do is you say, 6 years old, I'm committing to doing this for the next 10 years, if the other party's agreeable. And essentially, we're going to have a nice lunch. It could be at McDonald's. It doesn't have to be a big lunch, expense-wise. But then we're going to go over to the bank, and we're going to open a bank account in your name. And we are going to, if it's the husband and wife or the grandparents or whoever, somebody's going to open a bank account in this child's name and put $25 in there. And every year, for the next 10 years, we will come back. We'll have the lunch again, where you get a chance to talk about values. And then we're going to go over to the bank, and whatever you've saved over the last year, we will give you a 25% bonus, say. Now, I'm going to tell you, Bank of Montreal right now has a freebie for $25, so you can actually look like a hero and not even have to spend. Or you could say, well, we'll do $50, $25 from us and $25 from the bank. The whole point here is, you are sowing, you're using your money constructively to sow in long-term values. I did this with all three of my boys. They learned the ideas of budgeting, immediate versus delayed gratification, responsibility of managing their money. Were they perfect? Absolutely not. But at least they got a running start at it. And I think it's important. Two more. Family philanthropy. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. I think family philanthropy is one of the most powerful tools available to us as a family to work together to accomplish understanding values, compassion, all those other things that go with it. And a very simple way to do it is something my wife and I did tragically only once, I wish we had done it more, is we adopted a family at Christmas. We went down to our local church. We said, do you have a list? Of course they did. I remember we had a father and mother. He was unemployed. She was unemployed. They lived in a high-rise, low-cost housing, whatever. And they had an 11 and 8-year-old, and I remember buying a Sony Walkman, so you can see how many years ago that was, for the 11-year-old. But the point here was, we sat down. I wish I had done it a little better with the kids. I didn't do it completely right. But we bought presents for everybody. We bought a full dinner for everybody. And then probably the best part was, I asked my father to join me. So three generations went over to deliver this package. And my two older boys, Michael and Ted. Michael, I think, was probably around 6 years old, and Ted was 4. And I don't think they fully understood it. But if I was doing it all over again, this is a no-brainer. This is a no-brainer. A couple hundred dollars, and you are sowing in so much in terms of teaching your kids values. So lastly, let's talk about leaving a legacy. Oh, never mind. It's gone. By wisdom, a house is built. Oh, I went too far. That was my fault. Oh, it's telling me. No, that's okay. I'm quoting from Proverbs 24, verse 3. By wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding, it is established. In this one, I want to talk about four legacies and four questions. First of all, I've talked about two legacies already. I talked about Nana, my grandmother. Remember the lady with the chocolate sauce? She left her values. She didn't have much money. She had very little money. But she had time and a commitment, and she cared greatly about her family and the community she lived in. She clearly left her values. Jim Rohn, well-known motivational speaker, it wasn't about money to him. He just genuinely cared about people. He's presented to over 4 million people. He passed away in 2009. He cared, presented to over 4 million people, 6,000 presentations. He genuinely cared about leaving a legacy for future generations. There's two other people I want to share who left legacies. One of them is Mother Teresa. Most people would recognize the name. Mother Teresa was born, actually there's two people. One, Mother Teresa was born in 1910. I'll talk about the second in a minute. She was born in Skopje, Albania. And by the age of 12, she was beginning to discover her passion that she wanted to enter a religious life. At the age of 18, she left Albania and moved to Ireland, where she learned English in 1 year. Very talented lady, obviously. And then emigrated, I guess if that's what it's called, to India, where a couple of years later she entered the monastery and became a nun. In 1950, she and a group of ladies started a mission charity, which when she passed away in 1999, I think it was, not quite sure when she passed. Let's leave it 1999. When she passed away, there was, you know, over there was the charity was represented in over 123 countries. This woman was 4 feet 9 inches tall, who was a giant. 4 feet 9 inches. That's not very tall, right? The guy's 6'2". That'd be a tough conversation. But she obviously left a legacy. Now, the fourth person that I want to share with you, I have a slight bias on this, and that's my son, Ted Livingston. If you haven't heard the story, it's one of the most moving stories that I've heard, and I'd like to thank Sandra, Steve, and the church for praying for Ted and his company. The story is this. On March 29, 2011, the University of Waterloo announced that Ted Livingston, a former 23-year-old entrepreneur student who didn't quite finish, but they didn't put that in the release, had started his own company, and because of the way the finances needed to be arranged, had elected to donate the full proceeds of his sale of $1 million U.S. of Kik shares to the University of Waterloo. Age of 23. Donated $1 million. Now, what you have to understand is that he was a millionaire for 3 weeks. It's not like he got $10 million and donated $1 million. He got $1 million and donated $1 million. Remember that lady in the Bible with the two copper coins? I'm not putting Ted in the same league as that lady, don't get me wrong. But the same principle, she donated all she had, Ted donated all he had. Now, the reason I say this, you've got four different people. You know, Nana, Jim Rohn, Mother Teresa, and Ted. And they all have a very common theme. They all took the time to discover their passion. They all took the time to commit to be the best they could be at what they were doing. And they all took the time to share it with others. And when they share it with others, they begin the migration from success to significance.